Ciao, people, and welcome to a new episode of Making Movies with Mattia, the podcast for people that work or want to work in the entertainment industry. I'm Mattia Capasso, and today I'm really happy to present my first cinematographer. She's from Russia, living and working in London. Director of photography, she worked for many commercial films, music, and fashion videos. With experience also as still photographer and visual artist, she also exhibits many of her picture art to events and art gallery. I have the great pleasure to present Jana Ritz.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Jana. First of all, I hope that you're okay. And I want to say again, thank you for take part of this interview and give me some of your time.
Hello, thank you very much for inviting me to this interview. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
I will start, of course, already with the question. Tell me about your job and what are your duties?
Sure. So my job is called a cinematographer or director of photography, which is the same thing. It's just a different name for it. Cinematography in general is the art and technology of motion picture photography. It's the art of creating a project using moving image. In simple words, that's what I do. It also involves lighting a scene, composing a scene together with the director. It involves choosing cameras, lenses. It involves all sorts of filters and technical tools like cranes or dollies to create movement of the camera. So this is what I usually do.
Nice, nice. I will ask, of course, more questions about your job, mm-hmm. because as I mentioned to you before, I'm really ignorant in the camera department. First of all, because I'm not working in that department, and also because I never dealt with, and it's much, what mm-hmm. I realize, much more complex compared to, you know, I mean, each position has his difficulty, but for sure, camera require much more, especially for knowledge, I think. Knowledge and patience?
Yes, knowledge definitely. It requires some education and some experience, even though nowadays cameras are a bit easier to use because they're digital, and it's quicker to learn how to use them, but you still need to have a lot of all sorts of different kinds of knowledge to be able to create a good project. So regarding patience, probably it's a good quality in any profession, I would say. I don't think you need a lot of patience in cinematography, but generally it is a useful quality because there are some disagreements on set sometimes. There are some things to wait for during certain projects. There are situations where patience will be required, but not more than in any other profession, I would say, where you have to work with people. First of all, you have to be patient with other people and their egos and their ambitions and their creative choices.
And also, I think, manage different people, because our job is not see every day the same colleague or crew or cast.
Yes. Yes, that's true. Every project is mostly a different team of people. Sometimes you get to work with the same people, but you don't always have the choice. Sometimes you are limited by certain restrictions. For example, people you want to work with might be just busy. simple as that. And so you have to work with other people who are completely new to you. Sometimes people who are people whom you want to work with, they could be, for example, too expensive for the project you're hired to create, and you have to go with those who accept lower payment, for example. And again, they might be new to you, or you go to a different country and the production can't afford taking your regular colleagues, and you have to hire new people on the location.
Yeah. So this is question who come right now in your department, dealing with new people. Is it you that you hire people like assistant camera or anyone in your department? It's duty of the director of photography. Let's mention to the follower for who's listening. I will mention now DOP.
Yes. Short for director of photography. Yes, generally every person in my department will be hired by me personally. I mean, by my recommendation. Obviously, the production technically hires all people, but I will be the person whom they will ask, whom do you want to work with? And if these people are available and affordable, and suitable for the project, they will be hired. Generally, the production, they don't object to the choice of the cinematographer.
Because they know what you're doing.
Yes, that's correct. The director of the film can't always choose the heads of departments whom they want to work with, because the producer might influence the decision. But on a lower level, when heads of departments are chosen, they generally are given the possibility to choose their own little team within the project.
Cool. That's good to know that you are really relevant and important to the the whole crew, I think. Now, question more about you. What is your job background and how did you manage to get where are you now?
My first education is not actually film related. And as soon as I graduated from my first uni in Russia, I realized that it was the wrong choice. I started business and I decided to change my profession, and straight away I went to Prague, where I got my bachelor's degree in film. And then I spent another 2 years in the UK, in Leeds, at the Northern Film School, where I got my master's degree in film. And after that, I finally was satisfied and happy that I'm doing what I really like. And since then, I was in film industry. Before I changed my profession, actually, there was a little time gap, so to speak, where I was a photographer. And it happened so that I was a photographer on set. That's how I learned about film and the existence of actually film crews and everything film production related. And that's when I decided to go to Prague and study for cinematographer. So at first I was a photographer. Then for many years, I actually didn't use my stills camera because I was very concentrated on moving image, and I was it was enough for me. And only recently I started taking still pictures again. So this is another side of my career. Photography is still more of a hobby to me, even though I did have a couple of exhibitions in London, but I don't really do it professionally. I prefer to concentrate on cinematography, but at the same time, I still enjoy it, and it's a lovely part of my creative life.
So after your graduation in Prague, after you study cinematography, you mentioned you continue doing still photography. When you moved to moving picture, did you start as assistant camera or any?
No. As soon as I arrived in Prague, I actually started studying cinematography, moving image, and I stopped doing photography straight away. I didn't work as a camera assistant because after graduating from Prague Film School, I already had a few good projects in my showreel, in my portfolio, which allowed me to get cinematography jobs. They were not highly paid, some of them were free, but I already could work as a cinematographer or camera operator, actually, as well, on professional shoots. So, yeah, my way was very straightforward, really. And you don't necessarily have to work as a camera assistant, as a focus puller, as whatever. You can go straight to DOPing, to being a cinematographer right from the school, if you have any projects to show to your potential employer. Because you are hired according to what you can do, not according to your education. Even if you don't have any education, but you produce beautiful images and you understand film language, people will still hire you. All you need is your portfolio, showreel.
Yeah, as I always mention to my guests, the important is always the experience. I mean, it's nice to study this thing. You know, the best study is when you are on the place.
Mm-hmm.
The best picture is the one you take at the place.
Yes, that's correct. As I mentioned before, education is important, but film projects require experience. And you, of course, get some experience while you're studying. That's what you're there for, not just to learn theory. At film schools, you would normally have a lot of practical exercises. That's also experience. So it's a combination of factors, really.
True. Always about your job as cinematographer or DOP, which are mm-hmm. the same. Mm-hmm. How do you plan for a shot? I mean, in pre-production and also during the production?
Mm-hmm. Normally, you would have a period before any project, whether it's a film or commercial or a music video, a period which is called pre-production. This is when all the heads of department get together and plan. They go scout locations, which means they look at locations and they plan their shots. The process of planning shots happen between the director and the cinematographer. They basically sit down together and they draw pictures of where the camera goes and where actors go and how
the
many
storyboard,
shots.
Right?
Most the storyboard, time. Yeah. And the shot list. It's two documents which you would normally have. Sometimes projects happen at a short notice. For example, literally a month ago, I jumped on board of a project 3 days before it started. And it was a big feature film in Russia. And it happened because the DOP who was attached to the project, he got ill. So I was invited to step in, and it was literally 3 days before the shoot. So there was no pre-production for me, no time at all to do anything apart from meet the director, say hello, and discuss very basic things. And we had to deal with the situation on the go. We had to plan our shots on location. We arrive in the morning, we quickly go on set and talk about shots. Basically take 10-15 minutes to plan the scene, to plan the shots, and then we invite everyone and explain to them what we want to do. It's an emergency situation, but it still works if people are experienced, if they understand editing, if they know what they want to get in the end. It's actually very possible to do it on the spot, on the day. Ideally, you want to plan in advance.
Yeah, always as possible early. Always early. And question will come right now. In case of like you've been in a really short time notice, if it's a really like big shot you need to do, like it, when it's I don't know if you had experience with stunts or, you know, scene that require lots of attention. In that case, how will you deal?
Again, you just spend as much time as you can before the shoot, whatever is left, even if it's a night or a few hours, you talk to your director, to stunt coordinators, to the producer, to everyone who's involved and available for this conversation. You have to do everything you can to actually physically go on location and see it, because to plan at home, looking at photographs could be complicated and not very practical, because you think that you can have camera here and it's this distance, but actually when you arrive on set, it turns out to be completely different from what you saw on the pictures. It might be confusing. So I would recommend to get any chance to actually go to the location with the director. Even if it's an hour, you still will be better prepared than not being there at all.
Yeah, you also, I'm for sure you also take all the time, even when you need to sleep, right?
Yeah, that is correct, because you shouldn't underestimate the power of sleep and good rest. Because when people arrive on set sleepy or tired or not rested for some reason, it will affect the shoot. It will affect the whole crew, the whole team. It will affect your creativity, your ability to think, your ability to make decisions quickly, which you are required to do on set. It will affect everything in a bad way. So, and I experienced it several times myself, that's why it's always in the contract, actually, because it's not just an you know, a caprice or something useless. It's a very important thing, so it should be in the contract. The break, the amount of hours which should which you should have between the shooting days, so you have your rest.
True. I wish many production will do like this. In personal experience, really, if you are serious.
Sometimes you don't get that, and especially in the beginning of your career. You'll have to just take everything you get, and you have to earn the ability then to demand certain conditions. But yes, probably at the start, you'll have to compromise on certain things like sleep, for example. I had to.
I have many times. So you mentioned, of course, you work a lot with the director, especially in pre-production. You deal with him or her or they, the shots. Mm-hmm. But when a director, for example, is not happy with your idea or your shots, how will you handle the situation?
Mm-hmm. The ideal situation is when the director and the cinematographer discuss shots together. Sometimes the director has very clear idea of what they want to get, and they just tell you that I want camera here, I want the shot to look like this, and they're not open to the discussion, and it's their choice because the director is the main person on set on the project, and you can suggest, but you have, if the director wants it their way, you have to go with it. Ideal situation, as I said, when you plan the shots together and then you can discuss whether it's a moving shot, whether it's a wide shot or static shot, or what's happening there, and so on. All the details you discuss together. And yes, sometimes the director doesn't like your ideas, and it's okay. All people are creatives, and they have their right to not agree with you. That's totally right. And it's very important to remember that the cinematographer is only the second person on set after the director, and the cinematographer has to follow the ideas of the director and not argue and not push their ego in front of the project and the ideas of the project. I made a few mistakes in my early days when I tried to get nice shots which were not working for the idea of the story, and I was too argumental with the director, and that's how I learned that you shouldn't really do it, because nobody wants to work with people who argue for the sake of getting nice shots. That's what you learn at school, actually. So after you graduate, you shouldn't be making such mistakes.
Mm. Have you ever, for example, sorry to interrupt you, director is not happy with this shot, giving a different perspective, even an alternative. Did you have good director that allow you to let you say, okay, let's do this alternative shot and see how it come in post-production?
Yes, you normally would do an alternative shot. And as I said, the duty, the function of the cinematographer is only to suggest things which help visualizing the ideas of the director. If what you suggest is not good for the director, you have to suggest something else or go with the idea of the director. And as I said, there is nothing wrong with it. You just offer several options. If your first option is not working, then listen to what the director is trying to achieve and offer another option. If they don't want to shoot the scene from this side for some reason, then shoot it from the other side. Basically, that's the solution. There is no other way.
Yeah, in your personal opinion, if you are allowed to say, did you work with good directors?
Yes, with good, I wouldn't say good or bad. I would say there are directors who are comfortable to work with and those who are less comfortable, but then it comes more to the chemistry between people. But I definitely met some amazing, talented directors who are also very thoughtful about the rest of the crew and who give creative freedom to other departments and who listen to other departments, not just to cinematographer, but to the costume designer, to the set designer, to the makeup artist. And a good director would, in my opinion, would take it into consideration. But then again, the word good is not right. I'd say comfortable director for the rest of the crew, because I know amazing directors who wouldn't listen to anyone. And they're still amazing. They're super talented, but they want to do things their own way. And they will tell everyone how they want exactly things to be done. And there is nothing wrong with that too.
That's
it's
true.
Just it's... less creative freedom for the rest of the team.
Yeah, yeah. Is good in both way in that case. Mm-hmm. It's good in both way. In all another question, always in your opinion, what are the most important quality in a director of photography?
The most important quality, I would say, is being able to visualize the ideas of the director. And to be able to understand the story and to utilize film language to create this story visually, to bring it to life. And probably the best quality is to see the story the same way as the director sees it. Then the chemistry will happen, because if you see the story in completely different way, then it will always, always be a compromise on your side. You will be pushed to do things the way the director wants. But if you actually share the same vision on the project, then you will be wanting sort of the same thing. So the main quality, I will repeat, is to be able to understand what the story needs and what the director wants and how they want this story to look visually.
Yeah, good idea you gave, really good idea. Even if the director in that case is, a first-time director, how will you deal with a first-time director in that case? If that person doesn't know how to... He never experienced this. Will you be supportive in that case?
You have to hope that even the first-time director still has some kind of image in their head. And your duty in this case is to get this image out, to ask as many questions as you want, to watch as many as you can, to watch as many references as you can, to be able to understand what the director has in their mind. And then on set, you just hope that you guessed right and the images that you produce, they correlate with what the director has inside. Because sometimes, well, in most cases, the director will have some kind of picture in their head. The issue with the first-time directors is that they just don't know how to explain it properly to other members of the team. But generally, they always have the idea, otherwise they wouldn't be directors. And the complication is to get this idea, visual idea out of their heads to understand it. So I'd recommend just to, as I said, use as many visual references as you can so that the director can put their finger on the right ones to give you a better understanding and idea of what you need to produce as a cinematographer.
True. Totally true. In your experience, instead, did you have any particular or memorable moment?
Yes, actually, the recent film I mentioned at the beginning of our interview, which I jumped on urgently, was an amazing experience. And it was a first-time director, even though it was a big feature film funded by the Ministry of Culture in Russia. based on an amazing script by a famous scriptwriter. It was a debut for the director. She did make a couple of short projects, but it was a first feature film for her. And I must say that it was still an absolutely incredible experience because we had this special chemistry I was talking about before. I happened to see the film the same way as she saw it. So when I, even though we didn't have time to look at any references at all, but when I started lighting scenes, when I started offering different compositions of the shot or different colors that we might use, she actually felt the same way. So I basically felt the story the same way she did. And that's why it was easy for me. I was just producing what I liked and how I felt it. And she happened to like it as well. And she felt the same way. And on the, I think, second day, she told me, oh my God, this is how I saw my film exactly. And it was the best gratitude, the best compliment the director could give a cinematographer, I think. So I felt very happy throughout the whole project, and she felt the same way.
Nice. You, this one, you say it was in Russia, right?
Yes.
Other question, this one came to my mind right now. You work both in Russia and UK. What's the different? There's many different working between, like, that, do Russian have different organization way?
Generally is the same. The conditions of work are a little bit harder in Russia. It's longer hours. The salaries are lower compared to the UK, but that's just because it's two different economies and the level of life is generally a bit lower in Russia than in the UK. So
UK is too much.
Yeah,
expensive.
It's probably the same in any industry. If you compare, it will be just a bit lower paid here. Otherwise, the organization is pretty much the same. I'd say there is a big difference in terms of the ability to shoot independent projects in the UK. People are very open to do smaller projects themselves, find a camera, find friends, find some people who are happy to work for free for their showreel, for nothing basically, or trade their skills. And people are ready and open to building small teams in the UK and making their films from scratch themselves with pretty much no money. Very low budget, but at the same time, sometimes they produce amazing things which win huge awards. And I know such people myself personally. Sorry. While in Russia, people are used to only big productions. There is no culture of independent filmmaking, no experience. If somebody is talking about making a feature film, it means millions in Russia. So people are psychologically not ready to absorb the idea that they can actually make it between a few friends from the industry with the help of some people who can do it for free or for very little money. And that's a bit upsetting because I know that it's possible, but people just think grand when they think about a film. It means that it's a huge crew, 50 people minimum, which you have to feed, to drive, to pay, and you just can't do otherwise, which is not true.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest in some way. Our industry is expensive. Our creativity is expensive. I mean, you are still a photographer. You can take independently. It's just, you know, not say easy, because each art is difficult, but moving image require a lot of people and require also managing to convince everything, like you mentioned before, chemistry.
Yes, but at the same time, it's not super complicated to build a team of people who are interested in a creative project for their own reasons. For example, you can find a costume designer who wants to have her or his portfolio. You can find a cinematographer, you can find a scriptwriter, you can find everyone for free who would do this project just to get it done, to have it on their portfolio. And I've done not once projects like this. And actually with the people who already are in the industry, but they still want to make their own projects. And I worked for free, even being already a professional and a paid professional, I still worked for some of my friends for free, just because I like what they do. I like to be involved in their projects, and I help them in as many ways as I could. So it's totally possible.
True. In any case, the Russian way you make film is not totally different from the Italian, my Italian. We also don't do many independent, even if actually, you know, some people are doing, thanks, of course, to the streaming, to YouTube. So it's mostly involved on short video they do. But still, making independent film is, even in Italy, it's not like in UK.
Yeah.
So, or maybe it's also, you know, that it's UK that is really open to this kind of project, as well as France, and for sure, even other country. Even other country, personal opinion. Moving on another question. Do you have any projects coming up? Whatever is, as well as DOP and also as visual artist.
I do have a few projects in London, which are lined up. One is a continuation of a short film, which we started filming in June, but it was split in two halves. And the second half will be done in Greece, according to the script. And this is coming up. Then there is a commercial, which is coming up, and another short film. I don't have any feature films lined up yet. So nothing confirmed, at least yet.
That's cool. So you are going to Greece too?
Yeah.
You travel a lot.
Yeah, and I just got an invitation to join a BFI funded short film. That's BFI. Also coming up.
Cool. So you travel a lot.
Yes, this is something that is involved in the profession of cinematography. You travel quite a lot.
Yeah, even because I don't think the good things about DOP is always that you're unique. If they require you, they require you, not the local people, right?
That's true, yes. In many cases, the heads of departments would be sourced at the country of the origin of the project. If the production is British, the production would prefer to hire a director, cinematographer, whom they want in the UK, or specific directors or cinematographers from around the world. And then the rest of the crew, they will hire locally in the country where they produce the project. That's quite normal.
Yeah, but still it's fine that, you know, your vision is your, you see, you are, as I say, you are unique.
Yeah, that's true.
This one might be my last question. If something comes up to my mind, I will ask you. What would you recommend to those starting out, to those that want to follow your step?
I would recommend to be brave, to be sure that whether you have education or not, you can start filming. You can take the camera and start filming. I would recommend to not be afraid to create your own projects, build a team. If, for example, you are a young cinematographer and you don't have a showreel for whatever reason, build a team around you. As I said, that there are a lot of social media opportunities where to find people. Even if you're not a director, you can still generate a project. You can come up with a creative idea and find a director to help you. You can find a scriptwriter to help you put it into words, your idea. You can find costume designer, you can find makeup artist. Everyone who are after the same thing as you, which is showreel, a portfolio piece. And you can totally make this project happen. All these people can potentially even chip in. If, for example, you need to pay for something, for example, you have to hire a location, then all these people who are interested in the portfolio can potentially throw in some money, a little bit, but you can still hire a flat or something, a studio where you do it, or a camera. Because the most complicated thing is to get equipment, really. This is usually not available for free. There will still be some things that you'll have to pay for.
Usually it's always, apology to interrupt you, it's always the camera that require more, good camera equipment who are the most expensive, right?
Yeah, that's true. But then again, nowadays, if we're talking about the UK, there is a brilliant resource, brilliant platform called Fat Llama, where you don't need to have references, where you can have a camera for very, very small amount of money. You can have best cameras on the market, which is Red or Alexa, and they are not super expensive. Another thing I would recommend to not, if you are going for an independent project, don't plan a week, plan a day or two, and then it will be possible to achieve. Another recommendation, psychological, as I said already, and I want to stress this, don't argue with your director. Compromise, find alternative decisions, make your director happy, and you will be hired again. It's not about the cinematography, the project. It's about the idea. It's about the subject, not about the visual representation of the project. Because if you get beautiful images, but the film is not good, then nobody will watch it anyway. So make sure you understand the film and help the director make a good film.
Yeah, I saw how many times, you know, people, most especially those who love film, who analyze the film, are always charging, you know, like how sometimes, I'm one of these persons, say, the story is not great and, you know, the acting neither, but I love the camera, I love the visual thing about the film, so... I rather prefer, as you said, when the two talent are balanced, both by director and DOP. So, but it's funny. This is something many people in film industry mention. So yeah, I don't have more question to ask. I will, of course, make sure in the post I will share to, of course, put also your pages, Instagram, your website. I'm also going to insert this Fat Llama website because personally I had experience on contacting them. It's been really useful. So I will share also this Fat Llama, which I would recommend to those listening. I want to say you thanks again, Jana, for being here. And I wish you good luck and I also want to say thank you to those who are listening. And do you have something else to say? Sorry.
No, just thank you very much, Mattia. I think you are doing a great job interviewing people and introducing all sorts of different roles and professions in the creative industry. And I hope your blog flourish, and I hope to meet you in person soon enough in London.
Sure, in London, so,
Thank you very much for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
As I say again, thank you, and I wish you good luck too, and hope to meet you in person too.
Okay.
I want to say thanks again to those who are listening, and I'll see you on next episode. Ciao.
Ciao.